Okay, well, today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Vav, and we are on Hey Amid Beis. I just wanted to mention about 2 or 3 minutes on Lifnei Iver, and then we will continue where we're up to. But on the top of the page, top of the Amud, Lifnei Iver came up. This is one of the places in Shas where this topic comes up. Lifnei Iver is a huge issue about the context of our Gemara was that you were helping somebody do an Aveira. That's definitely included in Lifnei Iver. If somebody cannot do the Aveira without you, and you do it, if somebody cannot steal without you, meaning in terms of grazing their sheep, and you gave them their sheep, so then that's the problem. That was the context of our Gemara. There are just two issues to bring up in Lifnei Iver, and that is a fascinating question of the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch notes that the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch both do not quote in the mitzvah of Lifnei Iver the literal Lifnei Iver Lo Titeh Mechshol. If I put a rock in front of a blind person and they trip on it, do I violate the Isra of Lifnei Iver Lo Titeh Mechshol? Ask the Minchas Chinuch, of course you do. Of course you have to, because Eina Mikra Yotzi V'Dei Pshuto. The Gemara says in Yevamos, there's only one exception to that, and this isn't it. Right? So we have to say that the Mikra Yotzi V'Dei Pshuto, meaning you always, even if you have drushes, you have the pashtus of the pasuk also. So why doesn't the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch include that in the Isra? That's his kasha of the Sefer. It's definitely, they definitely think it's usher. It's not a good thing. It's a violation of the Atalim HaKamocha. It's a violation of Osam Al-Adam Reyecha. But is it a violation of Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Mechshol? So it sounds like no, says the Rambam and the Chinuch. They don't talk about it. They jump to, you know, giving somebody bad advice. They mention helping somebody do an Aveira. So that's the Minchas Chinuch's kasha, and he does not answer it. So for that, we have to go to the Klal Yakar. The Klal Yakar, and before the Minchas Chinuch, but he answers the question. The Klal Yakar on that pasuk in this week's parsha says, I also got an email from someone today, he says, you've mentioned Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in the past, why don't you mention it in this week's Parsha Shir? Parsha's Kedoshim. I said, I can't mention everything. Save it for the future year. I got an email yesterday, I'm like, Baruch Hashem, but thank you for noticing. But so I didn't mention this either about Lifnei Iver, but it could be on a future year. So the Klal Yakar says you have to read the whole pasuk. Lifnei Iver lo sitein mechshol v'yareisam yelokecha ani Hashem. Lifnei Iver and fear Hashem. What does that always mean, fear Hashem? That's always mentioned in a pasuk when there's something going on that only Hashem knows. Meaning if you are doing something and it doesn't look like an Aveira, so fear Hashem, because Hashem knows it's an Aveira. So when it comes to, if you put a rock in front of a blind person, you don't need Hashem to know that's an Aveira. Any onlooker would say, what are you doing? That's crazy. So that can't be what the pasuk is talking about, Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Areisam Elokecha means that what the pasuk must be referring to is something that only Hashem knows is an Aveira, which is you're helping to do an Aveira to somebody or giving them bad advice, and they might not know it's bad advice. That's why the Klal Yakar says the putting a rock in front of a blind person is not included. That's number one. Number two is the discussion in the Achronim, and that is how to view Lifnei Iver in terms of the nature of the Isser, what we call Klali or Prati. Do I say whenever I violate Lifnei Iver, I get a little shemetz of that Aveira? There's Lifnei Iver of Treif, and there's Lifnei Iver of Nazirus, and there's Lifnei Iver of this and this and that, meaning on my scorecard in Shemayim, on every Aveira that I have, the 364 Averos, it each has a Lifnei Iver section on it. Or do I say, no, Lifnei Iver is one general, it's a klali. Every time I do Lifnei Iver of 10 different Averos, it's all the same Aveira. It all goes on the same scorecard. Many nafka minas, one of the most fascinating is the Machlokas Balama Ramban. What about Lifnei Iver of the Gimel Averos? Somebody comes over to me and says, convince Reuven to kill Shimon or I'm going to kill you. Somebody does. They don't tell me to kill Reuven. If they tell me kill Reuven or I'll kill you, I have to be killed. But what if they tell me, convince Reuven to kill Shimon or else I'm going to kill you? It's a machlokas between them, the Balamar and the Ramban, whether you have to give your life for that. So again, that machlok, what's the machlokas about? If you say, Lifnei Iver is prati, part and parcel of each and every Aveira, then you have to give your life. It's Lifnei Iver of the big three. But if you say it's klali, so then Lifnei Iver of killing is just like Lifnei Iver of chatnis, Lifnei Iver of other Aveiras, so therefore it wouldn't be Yehari Val Yavar. Again, just to mention one or two more, because we have a lot to do today, and that is, what about the case the Gemara always brings? And that is, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Lifnei Iver of giving wine to a Nazir. Giving wine to a Nazir. What if I'm not a Nazir? Can I violate Lifnei Iver? So the Pashas of the Gemara is yes. If you cause somebody to do an Aveira, even if it's not an Aveira for you, the Gemara, but we're going to get to it in 4 blot from now, next week, Bez Hashem. What if you convince or help a Kohen marry a Grusha? And I'm a Yisrael. Right? So do I violate Lifnei Iver? Because after all, I can marry a Grusha, just a Kohen can't marry a Grusha. So So again, if you say it's prati, that it's part of every averus that maybe I can't violate because, you know, I'm not a Kohen. But if you say it's klali, then it could be with the iver. And finally, one other one, and then we will move on. What if the Bidechaz Chidach asks this question? If you're machshul somebody, and convince somebody to do an avera durabanan, do you violate lifnei iver d'oraisa? That's his question. And he says, it should be totally on our issue. If you say lifnei iver is prati, so then you can't violate worse than the avera you try to convince. So it's not going to be a durabanan. Mashenkit, if you say it's a klalis, then maybe it's klalis d'oraisa. And after all, his lashon is, if convincing somebody to do it as a durabanan is no worse than bad advice, no worse than giving somebody bad advice, and that's d'oraisa. So therefore, it would be d'oraisa as well. Okay, there's a lot of halacha l'maisa with favor also, but we'll leave it for now, and at the end, as we say, if there's time, we'll continue. Okay, maybe on Shabbos afternoon, the parshur might not take the whole time also, but we'll continue more then. Okay, let's continue the Gemara now. So, what Gemara are we talking about? We're in the sugya of Chashid Amamona, Chashid Ashvuasa. The Gemara assumes that we don't say that. The Gemara assumed that we say, even if you're chashin on mamon, you're not chashin ashuasa. Even if you're chashin that you're going to steal money or withhold someone's money, you're not going to take a shvua about it. That's beyond. That's worse. So the Gemara is researching, what's the source for that? How do we know that even though you're chashin on money, you're not chashin ashuasa? So the Gemara tried first to bring a raya from Modeh b'Miksas. That was number one. And we rejected that because that's not a true case of Chashid Amamona, because it's a case of Ishtamutei. Where it's a case where he doesn't really want to be lahachis, keep the money, but he's just trying to buy time. So then the Gemara quoted Rabbi Rachama, right about 15 lines up. Maybe that's the source for Chashid Amamona is not Chashid Ashvuasa, because you make a shomer swear. What do you mean make a shomer swear? If he stole the money, wouldn't he be Chashid Ashvuasa as well with the shvua help? It must be we don't say that. So then the Gemara said, also, even by a shomer, it's ishtamute. Why? Because maybe he's buying time. Maybe they'll find the ganav. Maybe he'll find his lost object. So now we're up to about 10 lines up at the bottom. Ihachi, if that's true, that by shomrim, we also say ishtamute, and it's not a true case of chashud, hakofer b'pigadon, am I possible this? Even by kofer b'pigadon, which we said is pasul on chashud, you shouldn't say that. Maybe even by pikadon, maybe you lost the guy's object and you're just buying time. So even by kofer b'pikadon, we should say you're not chashud la'edus. So the Gemara says no. When do we say that a kofer b'pikadon is pasul? You're right. It's only in a limited case. Going to asu sadi v'yashidu beid yahishaita the isa b'pikadon b'beisei. Adam came and testified that at the moment that you said you don't have his object, it was in your house. But Haviyah, then you knew about it. Right? So that's why we can't say, oh, maybe he's just buying time and he wants to find it. You're right. If we don't know where the Bikadon is, that would be the case. Kor Bikadon would not be possible Adam. But where it is a case that Adam say that he had it at the time, that's where he's possible. Inami or Tabinakalabiyadi, or we know he has it in his back pocket. Is in his house or in his back pockets. In those cases, we would say he is chash. So those didn't work. So now we go to number three. Try number three. What is the source for migu to chashad amamona lo chashad ashvuasa? What's the source for that? As follows. Basically, we're going to try every case where we make somebody take a shvua and we think they're lying about the money. So in every one of those cases, don't we think so? If we could ever find a case that without ishtamute, that would be a good source. So we try again. Ela hadam Rafuna mashpiro so shua shede bershuso. Rafuna says that by a shomer we don't only make him swear. Whenever a shomer swears, don't only make him swear, I know you swear to me that it was nanas or it was stolen, but also swear to me that it's not in your rishus. Shua shede bershuso. We also make him swear that. So neima miga da chashra mamana lo chashra shvuasa. Why don't we say there? I'm sorry. It is a case of shomer, but it's a specific case. The Gemara says Rashi quotes the three lines at the bottom. It's a case where he doesn't want to swear. He doesn't want to swear about Odes. He'd rather pay. Shilim below Rasul Shava. The Gemara at the beginning of a mafkit, right? He's scared of oaths. So you know what? He'll pay instead of taking an oath. Even though that's true, we do make him swear that it's not in his rishus. He doesn't want to swear what happened to it. Fine, but he doesn't because maybe he just wants to keep the guy's object. I'll pay for it. I don't like oaths. Maybe the guy's making up the story. So we still make him swear a shvur shein ever shuso. Says the Gemara. Maybe we should say that since he's chashra mamona, chashra shvuasa, why do we lay out the swear? So it must be it's not true. It must be it's not chashra shvuasa. Again, the Gemara says, no, it's not a true case of chashud. Amamona. Hasanami, Morav Yamar, Dmeka Yevnale. No, that's not a true case of chashud, because you know what he's saying? He's saying, look, I'm paying him for his object. Why is that so bad? I'm paying him money for it. So that's not chashud. Chashud means I'm lahachis, withholding his money and stealing from him. But here, it's not chashud because he doesn't think he's doing something wrong. He's more a heter. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha b'Dittei d'Ravina, v'aka avar alo, lav d'lo sachmod. But isn't he violating an isser in the Aseret HaDeros? An avera of lo sachmod. You're not allowed to desire and covet somebody else's property until, and as we know, until the time that you take it from him, lo sachmod, you violate once you actually take it, as we'll see in the Rambam in a minute. So he violates an isser d'Araisa. So why isn't he pasul and chashud because of that? So again, the Gemara says the same answer. Lo sachmod le'inshi b'lo dami mashmalahu. People think that lo sachmod is only if you don't give money for it. If you covet, I really want it, and I take it from him. But if you pay him for it, people don't think they're violating in that case. And the rule is, if you don't think that you are violating, then it's an avera, but you're not going to be pasul based on it. You're not going to be pasul le'edus in that case, right? This comes up a lot in terms of the gambling shiloh. Gambling shalas. So we know gambling in almost all cases is at least asur midrabanan. At least asur midrabanan because the problems of asmachta, problems of it's gezel derabanan. Even if you give the money and you know you take it into account that you're going to lose, but still, if you if you vadai always lose, then maybe you're not violating, but you're giving somebody else the money and then you're being lifneiver of him. Either way, it's not something that is appropriate. It's either vade, isr gzela, right? It's a huge issue. There's shiurim about it, but any type of rotisserie leagues, any type of place where a game based on skill, based on knowledge, whatever. But in any case, most of them are gezel. But are they pasul la'edus? In many of the cases, they're not pasul la'edus. Because they think, the people involved in it don't think that it's an aver. What do you mean? I put the money down in the first place. What do you mean? I have full knowledge that I'm going to lose. What do you mean? He wanted to give it to me. So all these examples are cases, reasons why a person does not think it's a problem, and that's why he wouldn't be pasul la'edus, even though it would still be an aver. I always like to tell the story that somebody, somebody I once gave a shiur on this, and then somebody came over to me afterwards and was like, I'm involved in this big sports league, and happened. I say it's if it all goes to tzedakah, it's okay. Aslachel tzedakah is kanya. So he explained to me that there's a difference between a football thing and a baseball thing. That a baseball thing you can make the tzedakah because people do that for fun. It's so law people, but football it's mamish for the money. He says so it's a short people do it for the money. So I said, okay, what can you do? So I had a Talmud also who did this, who got the baseball, he got it all with stucca, gave it to but the football, he couldn't, so he had to stop. But again, it just shows you someone who hears something, like, oh, I didn't know, so as somebody, just like the Gemara talks about, below dummy mash, below who? And if they hear about it, they stop, right? Yisrael Kadoshim Heim. Okay, Losachmod is a major issue. Just to mention one thought on Losachmod, again, we don't really have time to go into it, as we usually say, but it's a fascinating issue in general. There is a Rambam, and that's much discussed by the Achronim. The Rambam says as follows, in Hilchas Gzela, interesting where it is. The Rambam says, Ve'ein lokin alav zem ebnei she'ein bo maisa. You don't get malchus for los achmod, because it does not involve an action. Ein bo maisa. Ve'ein over b'lav zeh, ache yikach ha'chefet shachamad. But you don't violate los achmod until you buy the actual item and you take the actual item that you desired and that you coveted. So all the achmodim ask a stira between these two lines of the Rambam. First, the Rambam says you don't get malchus because it's a lav she'ein bo maisa, but you don't violate until he actually sells it to you. So isn't that the maisa? So you read two lines of the Rambam. So how do you put it together? So the way that it is explained, even the roots of this are in their other rishonim, and that is los achmod. The ikar los achmod is belief. It's in your heart that you coveted somebody else's property. What's the sheer, you know, we can always want something. You see somebody has something, oh, I wish I had that. But I violate los achmod. That's already, maybe that we have to try to condition ourselves not even to have that. So meach lechelko. But when do I violate los achmod? The sheer of los achmod is when my desire in my heart is so bad that I make the guy finally sell it to me. But be'ikaron, it's in my heart. That's the isser. But how do I measure it? When do I violate? Only when my heart's desire is so extreme that it is, I make the guy sell it to me. But be'ikaron, it is in my heart. That's what how the Stipler explains it in Parshas Yisro and others. That's the, but that's the Shilah Rambam. Why inherently it's a lav she'im o'maisa, even though you don't only violate until after he sells it to you. How could Hashem command us to not to covet? Isn't that something in our heart? Very hard. Very hard aveira lo sachmod. You know, just like avas Hashem, it's in your heart. And Hashem can tell us to shake a lulav. Hashem can tell us not to do something. But in our command something on our heart, so that's a well-known Eben Ezra in Parshas Yisro. Where Eben Ezra gives the mashal of the villager and the princess. Now the princess is passing through town looking for a suitor. And all of a sudden she passes through a little village. And this little villager goes out that sees the princess. Is it shy for him to want to marry the princess? And it's in the realm of possibility? Of course not. He's a little villager. It's not Shayach. He can say, wow, she's beautiful. But he's not really going to think, oh, I wish I can marry her. He's not going to think that in the realm of reality because he's a villager and she's a princess. Right? So it's the same thing. Says the Eben Ezra, everything that's not ours, we have to think Hashem doesn't want me to have that. It's not in the realm of possibility. It's theirs. It's not mine. Hashem has a peckle for each of us in life. So if something's in your package, it's not Shayach to me. That's why we have to try to condition ourselves, says the Eben Ezra, to have that attitude. That Sameach Bechelki, Hashem gives me everything that I would need. Okay, let's stop here with Osach mode and continue on to today's Amud, today's daf. Okay, the Gemara continues. So we're still stuck. We still don't have a source for Chashad HaMamona, Lo Chashad HaShuasa. So the Gemara says, Ela HaDam Rav Nachman. What about Rav Nachman who we had yesterday? Mashbiyan Oso, Shuas Hesis. What about a case of Shuas Hesis? Name Amigo the Chashad HaMamona, Chashad HaShuasa. Why don't we say there too? If somebody is Chashad HaMamon, they're Chashad HaShuasa, so we wouldn't allow them to take a Shuas Hesis. Remember, when's a Shuas Hesis? When I am Kofer Bakol. So Midaraisa, I have to do nothing. Midarabanan, we say that you should take a Shuas Hesis. As the Gemara says elsewhere, Lahafiz Daito Shabala Bayis. Right? Just a person wouldn't come here if they had no basis. So, you know, take a shvua. Rashi here says, important Rashi, top line, name amigu, demeiz panov, lichbar hakol, lav ishtamute boy. Right? If somebody's kofar bakol, we don't assume it's ishtamute, because we assume a person would not lie, right? It wouldn't be meiz panov, wouldn't deny everything in front of someone who knows the truth or did him a favor. And therefore, isn't that a true case of chashad amamona? That is Shitas Rashi. The Rashba here discusses that there might be different kinds of ishtamute, because you find in other Gemaras that maybe there is an ishtamute even by Kofar Bakol. Maybe there's an ishtamute of total denial and ishtamute of delaying. We might find an ishtamute of delaying in some cases, but an ishtamute of total denial, so that we wouldn't find, and that's what Rashi means here. Okay. That, so don't you see from Shuas Hasis, Chashad HaMamona, you don't say Chashad HaShuasa, Vesu, and also Hadatani Rebbe Chiya, Shnei Nishma Minotlin, right? What about the discussion in Misachas Shavuos, all the cases of Nishma Minotel, or specifically the one that we discussed in the Gemara quotes here, Mi Bal Habayis, right? Remember the case, the Bal Habayis says to his storekeeper, go pay my workers, give them some fruit, and the workers say they never got the fruit, and the storekeeper says he gave the fruit. So what's the din? They both swear and take from the Bal Habayis. Tough luck on him. So again, Neima, how could we say that? Neima, Migu, the Chashad HaMamona, Chashad HaShuasa. Why don't we say that the storekeeper or the workers, one of them is Chashad HaMamona, one of them is lying. So why do we allow them to take a Shua? We should say they're Chashad HaShuasa. So their Shua won't help, and we shouldn't even allow them to take the Shua. And Vesu, and third, Hadam Rav Sheshes. Didn't Rav Sheshes say? Shloshes Shuas Bashbienoso. By a Shomer, we make a Shomer take three oaths. As we alluded to before, shvua shaloba shatiba, a shvua that I was not posheya in the object, because that's something that every shomer is chayav for. Shvua shalosh shalachti bayad, a shvua that I did not use the item, I wasn't sholeach yad, pipikadon, I didn't use the item, and shvua sheino b'rishusi, and a shvua that's out of my rishus. So when I'm a shomer and I swear, I really have to take a triple shvua. I don't have it, I didn't use it, and I wasn't posheya in it. So name amigo the chashad amamona chashad shuasa. So there too, why don't we say if somebody's chashad amamon, they're chashad shuasa. Ella must be la maskana lo amrinan amigo the chashad amamona chashad shuasa. Period. We have our source. These three shvuas are chashad amamona, and we still don't say chashad ashvuasa. Question on this last one from Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says there are three oaths. three oaths that are chashidah, right, that a shomer has to take, and we prove from there your chashidah mamona. So how do we allow you to take the shvuah? Which shvuah is the focus of that raya? Which shvuah is the one that we think he's chashid amamon? So Rashi says, which shvuah are we talking about? Fifth skinny line in Rashi. Neima gabi shvuah she'eno birshusi. Migud chashid amamona, sheva birshusehu. Maybe he's lying, it's really in his rishus, and he's chashid amamona in that case. So Rashi says, it's the shvuah she'eno birshuso case, like the Gemara tried to do before. Right, so the Gemara gave that teretz. So the but what's important? That's a question. What does Rashi do with? I'm sorry.
The second one
that is meaning. So what about the second one? So that's the other day, the day of the Ramban. The Ramban quotes that Shvuah Shalosha Tipa Yad is the one that's Chashad Mamona. We think that you might have used it because if you're Shalach Bo Yad, what's the din? Havi Kagazlan, right? It's Bethesh. If you use an item that you're supposed to be watching without permission, so Havi Kagazlan. So the Ramban says, the Ramban quotes the Ra'avad, the Rav Av Bezdin, not the Ravid, the Ra'avad, Vyesh Lafarish, the Chiachi Bidurab Nachmin, Bishalosh Lakti Bayadakshe, Shari Shalak Yad Vikadon Gazlan Huva Chashra Mamona, Vyafilohaki Lukhashra Shuasa. That's the Ra'avad. So it's a Machlokas, sorry? Exactly. So why does Rashi, that's the kasha. So Machlokas we've shown him here, that if I'm sholeach bo yad bepikadon, if I used an item that was not mine, so is that considered chashid amamona? Rashi seems to say no. He specifically does not say, I'm from the second oath, and the Ra'ava, the day of the Ramban, quotes yes. What's the Machlokas? So, in general, whenever you have these cases of quasi-gazlanim, or sholeach yad, I didn't steal it from you, so shaleach boyad, the paragimel of Hilchas Gezela talk lists all these cases of quasi gazlan. Shaleach yad bipikado, shoel shalomidas. If I use something without permission, or other cases of quasi gazlanim are what are other cases? A tokef mashkon. I keep somebody's of collateral that he gave, or I'm gozel pachas mishaver pruta. I steal less than a shaver pruta. So in all these cases, there are certain elements of gzela that exist and certain that don't exist. There's a maisa gzela. There's a chiyav hashava that doesn't exist in some cases. There is kinyani gzela. There is chiyav onsin. In a regular case of gzela, there are many different elements. So in all these cases, some of them exist and some of them don't exist. So it seems that Rashi says the pasul la'edis element, just like other elements, just like pachas mishaver pruta. There's no chiyav hashava there. You don't have to return less than a penny if you steal it. You violated an Issa Daraisa, the Rambam says, but you don't have to return it. It says Issa Gzela without a Chiyav Hashava. So Rashi would say there's no Chashid here either. But the question is, why not? So, as we said on the previous Amud, he's Mora Heter. So how's he Mora Heter here? So the Rabban himself explains. He's Mora Heter by saying, look, I'm using his item. I'm going to give it back to him tomorrow. So he didn't lose anything. What's the big deal? So I use your rake. I'm supposed to be guarding your rake. Right? I use your weed whacker. Right? But I'm going to give it back to you tomorrow. The same way that I got it. So what's the big deal? So people don't think they're gazlanim. So the same way we said by Los Achbor, the same way we said by others, if you don't think what you're doing is wrong, so therefore you're not going to be, it is wrong, but you're not going to be chashud based on that.
Let's say he sells it. So when he says it's not in my possession, he's not lying.
So if he sells it, right, I'm saying so, if he sells it, he's not, but that's why we make him take that shvua.
Which shvua?
I'm saying, but he also says he's not poshe in it. If you sell it, that's a pshia.
That's worse.
That's worse. I'm saying, but it's at least pshia. It's at least pshia.
But Rashi is saying the first one is a chashid mamonita.
The Rashi is saying that the shvua she'ain a
brishusa?
The poshe is not. Shalosh pashatiba.
Okay, only the third one is.
Right, he picks that one. Right, nobody says that one. Shalosh pashatiba. Because if you're poshea in an item, if you're pushing an item, so if I leave, if I left the gate open and the ox went out, so am I chashid?
No,
I'm not chashid.
But if I sell it,
You sell it, it's I think
the,
it's
the only one I'm doing wrong is the second one. Okay, it's not in my possession.
Okay.
According to Rashi, that's the only chashid mamon shvuah is the third.
I'm saying if you stole it, I don't know. That might be worse because that's like stealing it. You're putting it out of somebody's rishus. I know that might be worse than shalachti bayad. You might not be chashud, but you're, I don't know, because you're a quasi-gazlan. I don't know, you took it, unless right when you take it and you sell it, Not sure. If you sell a stolen item, are you chashid?
If the item was a shor or a set.
Right. Lechari your chashid. Lechari your chashid. And the shuas have to try to cover. Look, Chazal make all these shuas. They try to cover all their bases. And in most cases, it's going to cover. Yeah. Okay. Weiter. Abaya Amar. Abaya says, going back. Now this is going back all the way on the middle of yesterday's Amud. Yesterday's Amud Hema Beis. The Gemara asked, if they're each holding half of it, why do we make him swear? So Rabbi Yochanan came up with the Shvuah Rabbanan, and then we got sidetracked with Chasham Amon Chasham Shvuasa. So now we're having another answer to that question. Why do we make them swear in our Mishnah? They're each Muchzak. Just say Amos Mechaber Lavaraya. Abaya Amar Chayshinan Shama Milva Yeshana Yishto Alav. No, what we think is that Reuven owes Shimon money, and Reuven forgot about it. But Shimon remembers. So Shimon says to himself, you know what? Let me go. He doesn't remember he owes me $50. Let me go grab his shirt. And that'll be my $50, because he doesn't remember. So that's why we're going to make it. That's what we think the case is. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. So just the opposite. That's a reason to think that he's telling the truth, and we should allow him to have it without the Shvua. We're trying to explain why there is a Shvua in the Mishnah. So, Ella, you're right. Let me just rephrase. Chayshinan Shema Safik Milva Yishana Yisholav. Maybe there's Safik Milva. Maybe he's not sure. He thinks. He doesn't remember for sure. He thinks that there is money that he is owed, and therefore he's basically taken the law into his own hands, and he is going to grab his shirt. The Rishon and the Ramban here says he's allowed to do this. If you know that your friend owes you money, forgot about it, are you allowed to go into his house and just grab something from him? That's called, we had that sugi in Baba Kama Daf Chav Zayid, Ovid Inish Dina Lanashe. Is a person allowed to take the law into his own hands or not? So that's not so clear what he's allowed to. The Gemara talks about, is there a pseida to you, is there not a pseida to you? But the Rishonim here discuss whether that is appropriate. Sometimes it is. Right? The Rashi and the other Rishonim, Pashtus seem to say that it's okay here if you really owed money. Right, it's a big discussion in the Achronim. Again, how to understand Ovid Inish Dina Lanashe. Is that a real din?
There are
other
Edom, then there's no Edom.
There are no Edom. Right, if there are Edom, you don't have to do Ovid Inish Dina Lanashe. So is that a real form of din, or is that an extra legal method? Either way, that's Ovid Inish, Baba Kama Chav Zayin. Says the Gemara, 1 minute. V'lo Amrina Tafas Mamona Misveka Mishtava Navi Misafek. So what did we just say? We make him swear because maybe he is really owed money misafik. He's not sure. So won't he take a shvuah misafik too? What's the difference? The Gemara says no. Amar Rav Shesh's Rav Avidi, Parshi Inshi misafik, shvuah below Parshi misafik mamona. A person wouldn't take a shvuah misafik, even though they would take money misafik. As we said, shvuahs are more scary in people's eyes. By time, why? Mamon, isa b'chazara, shvuah less b'chazara. You can give back money if you were mistaken. You can't take back an oath if you were mistaken, and therefore, we do assume that the shvuah would be a deterrent in that case. Period. By Reb Zeira. Says Reb Zeira, the Tokef Gemaris. Talk for Echa Befaneinu Ma'u. What happens if two people come to court holding something, and in front of us, while they're in front of us, one overpowers the other one and grabs it, and now it's only in one person's rishus. So, hey, right, our Mishnah is about, it's in both people's rishus. Hey, Chidami, what exactly is the case of our Mishnah? Edeshasik, if after the guy was overpowered, the other guy doesn't say a word, Ozuyodulei, then he obviously is saying, admitting that it's not really his. So what's the shayla? Vikatzavach, and if he's still screaming, how can you do that? Give it back to me. My havel lemevit. So what is he supposed to do? The other guy went to the weight room yesterday and he didn't, right? So what is he supposed to do? So lo tzricha deshasik meikara v'hadetzavach. The case is where he was quiet and then 10 minutes later he piped up and said, he took my item. So my, what's the halacha? Mi deishtik odiyodilei. Do we say that because he was quiet? It must be that he's admitting that it wasn't his. You know, when he piped up 10 minutes later, he's probably just having charata, right? But really, it's not his. Or do we say, no, keep it the katzava chashta, igloi milsa? Or do we say that once he started screaming, now it's igloi milsa, it's revealed, the hide the shasik may cover the fact that he was quite originally, savar hakachazle rabbanon. He's basically saying, the rabbanon saw what just happened. I don't have to start screaming. The rabbanon saw what just happened. Says the Rashba, chazule rabbanon sounds like it's in Bezdin, right? Mashma, it's in front of Bezdin. What happens if it wouldn't be in front of Bezdin and he would have been quiet? Right? What if he wasn't in front of Bezdin? Says the Rashba, two opposite Cheetos. The Ika Meravada, some of my Rebbeim say, only in front of Bezdin, but not in front of Bezdin. Even if he was quiet, Ulu Basov Tzavach, Oduya Odilei. Right? Because why was he quiet? Right? He can't say Chazulei Rabbana. They're not there. So he had to start to be, have to be screaming right at the beginning if it wasn't in front of Bezdin. He says, but I say, I think the opposite. Dafk in front of Bezdin, do you need him to start screaming? Because this is a makom mishpat, and v'harle le mitzvah. He should be screaming so they realize, they record it. But shalom b'fnei Bezdin, he could say, look, who's listening?
Right,
nobody's here. What's the point of screaming? Uman, you know what I'll do? I'll take him to court. I'll take him to court. What am I screaming for? It's amazing. Two opposite, two days in the Rashba. He goes to his Rebbeim and he says his own shot. What about not in front of Bezdin and he's quiet? Is that for sure a hodah? Or is that for sure fine? Because, you know, he's going to take it to court. That's what he must be thinking. So, how literally, you take literally Chazalei Rabbanan, but what about if it's on
Bezdin? If no one was listening, how do we know he did it?
So if no one, what do you mean? No one was listening.
There's no Rabbanan.
They're in court. But they're in court. So there are Rabbanan there.
No.
If he had not been in court. So he comes. Right, he comes. He comes. I mean, if it would happen.
He admits he didn't scream, by the way.
Right.
Because there's nobody there.
Right, nobody there. Right. Amar Rav Nachman. Tashma. So what's the din in this case? Again, where somebody overpowers the other one. Tashma. Bamed, remember the Brisa says, when do I say this Mishnah Shnei Madukinbo? When do I say this din applies? If they're both holding it, Abayis Atalos, Yosef, Midachas, the others, Alachan Meham. But if one of them has it, it must not have a Ralavariah. If only one person is holding a Talos, then he gets to keep it. So says the Gemara, Hechke Tami, what's the case of the Brisa? Ine Mekedik Tani, if it's like, it says, meaning one person comes into court holding a shirt. So Pshita. So that's no chiddush. That's obvious that it's his. So Elo, what must be the case? It must be the case where one overpowered the other one. So Gemara says Lo, and therefore that would be a riot to our case. So Gemara says Lo, Hachamai Eskina. What must be the case? Going to Asul Kaman Kida Tfisa Leitravayu. Really, they both came to court holding it. They're both holding the shirt. But Amir Le Zilu Plugu, and we go tell them go split it. But Nafku, then they go leave Bezdin. Then they come back to court a half an hour later, and only one of them has it. Hi, Amar Oduya Odili. The one who's holding it says, the other guy admitted to me. He didn't want to go through the whole the difficult process of splitting it, so he admitted to me. Hi, Amar Vidami Agarti Neili. No, I rented it out to him. He borrowed it, but for pay. So Damrina Lay, so in that case, the guy who's holding it gets to keep it. Why? Damrina Lay, because we say to him, Ad Hashta Chashat Leba Gazlan. Until now you were thinking he was a Gazlan. Fashta Mogresle Blo Sadi. And now you hired it out to him without witnesses? You don't trust this guy. Obviously you're making up the story. So that's the case of the Brisa where it says Amosi Mechavero Alav Haraya. Period. Tosas here points out, why isn't he believed Migu that the guy grabbed it from me? Little Tosas of Agart. So Tosa says, why? It's Migu B'makam Edim. It's a Migu B'makam. The other guy's holding it, which is on the side that it's his. Migu B'makam Edim. But it sounds like, and Rishonim here discussed this, it sounds like had he said it, Migu always means he would have been trusted with the other claim. Had he said, the other guy grabbed it from me, we would believe him. Right? That's what it sounds like. Why don't you believe Migu? He could have said, the other guy grabbed it from me. Right? The case is, remember, two guys come into court, they're both holding it, they go out, they come back in, only one guy's holding it. So Tosa basically says, the guy would have been believed if the other guy grabbed it from me. Ask the Pnei Yeshua. How can you say that? If I come into court and say, he grabbed it from me, what, we're going to believe him? Well, why would he believe the guy? Of course he shouldn't believe the guy. He says, let's say two people are fighting over something. Says the Pnei Yeshua. Let me read you his lashon. It's important, Pnei Yeshua. Says the Pnei Yeshua. He says, Hagat b'cha. Bechashayim Arab Yomer, Chivet Zeshibiat Poin Shalihu. Somebody comes to court and says, so-and-so's object is mine. And I have no proof, so Bezdin throws you out of court. And the next day, I'm holding the object, and the other guy comes to court and says, that guy grabbed it from me. So he doesn't have to prove it? Oh, it must be. The guy said he wanted it, it's his, and he must have overpowered him. Of course he wouldn't say that. You say, it must have been Chavir Alavaraya. So said the Pnei Yeshua, you know what? You have to say, he throws up his hands. You have to say, this case is different, because if two people are holding it something, the natural way of things is that one person is going to overpower the other one. They're not going to keep both holding it forever. So naturally, you assume this happens on Ansadi. If it didn't start with both of them holding it, then you wouldn't believe him. The only reason Tosas holds that Tuk from Imani would be believed is because the natural way of events is that one person overpowers the other person. Okay, but that's an important Pnei Yoshua. Says the Gemara, or, so what's the case of the Brisa that says if one person's holding it, he wins? Either this case, or be Baisema, Kediktani. In which case? No, in the case where somebody comes in and is holding everything? No. If they're both holding it, they already each get half.
In other words, the case the Gemara set up was that that we both are holding it. The Gemara said, go Yechloka. And then he comes back in and he says, Reuben's holding the whole thing, meaning that we didn't succeed to do the Yechloka. When he's Katzavach, he's not Katzavach on the whole thing, he's Katzavach on the Yechloka.
On the Tachfah Mimani, well, they were each saying it's all mine when they came in, even though they're both,
right, but
they didn't Yachloko. Right, so Lachori's at least asking for his half.
Right.
He's only asking for his half.
So that's why, because Bezdin will say, we told you to go the
Akhlaq.
If 10 minutes later you walk in and you're holding the whole thing, it seems like
right. That's what the Bnei Yeshua says, right? It's just the umdana demuchach in this kind of case that the one would overpower the other one. Vibayisema, or the other case, kidiktani. Really, one of them is holding it. But the chiddush is that one of them is holding it, one of them is like holding the edges, just the fringes. So that's the chiddush, that the, even though they're both holding it, no, only the one who's really holding it is the one who is considered the machzik. We had earlier on that beis that holds mamon, that's besafik, you split below shvua, sumchas would admit here that the guy who's holding it gets to keep it, the sirchalav klumhi. That cause like just a sircha, a little holding on the edge, is not considered anything, and the one guy gets to keep it. Period. Imtim Salomar usually is not a new sugya, but here it is. Period. Imtim Salomar. Takfa echad befaneinu motzino samiyada. So our question: if you two people are holding something and one overpowers the other one, let's say we would hold that in that case we would take it away from the guy who overpowered. Right? So then, for sure, hekdisha eina mekudeshes. Then, for sure, at the time that they're both holding it, one cannot be makdish, this item. Because after all, even if he grabs it, we're not going to let him keep it. So obviously, he does not have bilus, and if he doesn't have bilus, he cannot be makdish it. But what about, imtib salomar tokva echad befaninu ein motzino sabiyadu? But what if we would say the halacha is that if you would grab it and overpower, the guy would let you keep it? Because kind of called alam gvar, if you both have it, yachloku, but if one eventually grabs it, so then we assume that the real owner must have been moser nefesh for it, we let you keep it. So then, hikdisha below takfa mahu, what's the halacha? Can you be makdish it before you grabbed it? Since you have the power to grab it and keep it, is that enough bilus so that you can be makdish it even now, before you grab it? That's the Gemara's question. Kivan to amar marami rasul gvar kibis rasul ahedyo, dummy, since we hold, as we had in Kiddushin, as we had earlier, that giving something to the Beis HaMikdash is much easier than giving something to anybody else, just saying it goes to the Beis HaMikdash is as if it takes the place of a Maisa to your friend. So, come on to talk for dummy. So here too, once I say I'm Makdash, it's as if I grabbed it and gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. Because when you're Makdash something, your words take the place of an action. So do I say when we're still both grabbing it, again, since if I would grab it, I would be able to keep it. So even while we're both still holding it, I have the power to be makdish it. Oh, Dilmor, not. Hashtami holo takfa. What do we say? No. Lo maiso, you didn't grab it. Viksiv, and the pasuk says, v'chish ish ki yakdish es beso kodesh lashem, and we darshin ma beso bershuso, avkol bershuso. Just like your house is in your rishus, and you can be makdish your house, kodesh in your rishus, so to anything in your rishus, you can be makdish. La'afuki haidelo bershuso, excluding this, which is not in your rishus. So that's the question of the Gemara. This is going to get us into the talk for Kohen Sugya. Again, what's the question? If we're both holding an item, and the halacha would be that if I grab it, I would be able to keep it. So what do I say about my power of Hakdasha before I grab it? Is the fact that I can grab it enough for me to be makdash it now?
But eventually you did grab it?
No. Let's say you didn't grab it.
Well, the whole rationale for grabbing it is because that you're telling me that I admitted that it was yours.
Okay. Well, we never answered the question of shasak al basof
sava. That's the whole rationale.
That's what we're saying in Tipsalomar. Right. If it was quiet, I'm basically admitting to you. Right. If I was quiet, I'm basically admitting to you.
Right. So now what am I? What, now what's the rationale?
I'm saying, but I didn't do the question. Is if we would let you keep it, because you know, we would say it's a type of umdana that a real bialim would be moser nefesh more for the item, and he would grab it. So then, do we say even before you do that, you have enough power? So let's see.
Okay.
So Tashma. Here's the story with the bathhouse. There was a bathhouse that two people were arguing about. Hi, Omar Didi, who? Vahai, Omar Didi, who? Right, they're each saying it's mine. And all of a sudden, they're arguing about it. And one of them get up and said, you know what? This bathhouse goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Well, what does the Beis HaMikdash need a bathhouse for? So the answer is the Beis HaMikdash is going to sell it, get the money, and use it for the Beis HaMikdash. So what happened? Parshi mina, Rav Chananya, Rav Oshi, Rav Kula Rabbanan. All the rabbis stopped taking showers there. So Rav Oshia, who was one of these rabbis who stopped using it, I guess he was just doing it as a chumrah, he said, when you go to Rav Chisda, you know, go ask him really what the halacha is in this case. Is it really hektish? Rav Hamnuna said, it's a Mishnah. It's a Pefirish Mishnah in Taurus. What's the halacha? What's the Mishnah? Safik Bechoros. Let's say somebody has a Safik Bechor. Or any type of Safik Bechor. Echad Bachar Adam, whether it's a Bachar Adam, let's say there was a boy born, you're not sure if he was a firstborn or not, you're not sure there was a previous miscarriage, and therefore you're not sure if he's a Bachar, meaning you're not sure if you owe the Kohen 5 slime. Or Ve'echad Bachar Behema, or you're not sure if this Bachar of a Tahar animal, right, is the firstborn, and you'd have to give that to the Kohen, Bein Tahar and Bein Tameim, or even of a Tamei animal, right, there's one Tamei animal that has Shaychus to the Kohen, right, a Bachar Chamor. So in all those cases, the Mishnah says, Hamotzi Mechaber Lavaraya. In all those cases, Hamotzi Mechaber Lavaraya, meaning you don't have to give it to the Kohen, right, you don't have to give the 5 slum to the Kohen, and in all these cases, you don't have to give it to the Kohen. That's what Hamotzi Mechaber Lavaraya. V'tani Allah. But what does Hamotzi Mechaber Lavaraya mean? The Gemara assumes that it also means, let's say the Kohen would grab it, he'd be allowed to keep it. Because now he's Hamotzi Mechaber Lavaraya. That's what we assumed the din was going to be. Vitani Allah, and related to this Mishnah, the Brisa says, Asurim Begiza Ubavoda. It's still, even though the Yisrael, let's say, would get to keep it, you're still not allowed to shear it, and you're not allowed to work it, meaning it has certain chumras of being a karban. Even though the Yisrael doesn't have to give it to the Kohen, but it has certain halakhas of a karban. So it says the Gemara, 1 minute. V'ahacha. At this point in time, the Kohen did not grab it. But the Amar Takva Kohen in Motzino Somiado. But basically, the halacha would be that if the Kohen would grab it, he would be able to keep it. Diktani Amotze Mechaber Lavaraya. Since the din of the Mishnah is Amotze Mechaber Lavaraya, so basically, whoever has it, you know, would be able to keep it. And yet, the Chilo Takvo, if he didn't grab it, still the halacha is Asur Begizu Bavoda. Question mark. It's still Asur Begizu Bavoda. Explains Rav Shimon Shkap. Very important, Rav Shimon in Shar Hei, Ma Kesha between the Koach HaKdasha of a Kohen and the Isser of Giza Vavoda. Any Isserim of a Karban, says Rav Shimon, flows from the Bailus Mamoni of a Kohen. If a Kohen has no Shaychus to a Karban, so then it's not going to be Asur Mishum Karban, and all the halakhas wouldn't apply. So the question here is, if the Kohen has the ability to keep it if he would grab it, right, so then we understand the fact that it's Asur Bagiza Ubavoda. So here, that's the halacha. What are we trying to prove? If you could grab it, then even if you don't grab it, do you have powers with it? So here too, it must be the case. This is a raya. If the Kohen would grab it, he'd be able to keep the Bechar. And even if he doesn't grab it, what's the halacha? There is still the Surim of a Karban. Oh, that must prove our case. If two people are fighting on something, and one person could grab it, even if he doesn't grab it, he still has powers to be Makdashit. That's the potential raya.
A Bechar has shaychus to a Kohen. What does a Masusa have shaychus to the base of Mikdash?
But we're saying you have the power. It just reflects power of a person who would try to be grab it. Just like a Kohen has shaychus to it, even though he didn't grab it, because Hamos Mechaber Lavaraya. So that's good enough to create the Isser V'Giza. So too, that would be enough to create the Koach HaDasha based on Amiras LeGavoak and Sirasa LeHedyot. Answers the Gemara. Come on, you can't compare the cases. Amar Le Raba Kedushas Bechar Kamrit. You're asking me about the Kedusha of a Bechar? No, that's not similar to a case of Hakdasha, being mocked or something. Why? No, maybe don't take the price so literally. If the coin would grab this, we'd make him give it back. But there's still an Isser of Giza of Avoda. Why? The Afilu Hachi, Isser of Giza of Avoda, to Kedusha Haba'a Me'ela Hashayni. A Bechar is Kadosh Me'rechem. A Bechar is Kadosh the second it's born. Nothing to do with the Kohen. This is a different type of Kedusha. This isn't a Karban which you have to be Makdish. A Bechar is naturally Kadosh. Nothing to do with the Kohen. So you can't bring this as a Raya to, oh, if the Kohen has power to be grab it. No. Even if the Kohen has no power, it's still going to be Asur Mishum Karban because a Bechar is special.
So Amos Mechaber Lavaraya is only one way.
Correct. So Amos Mechaber Lavaraya here is only one way, and the Achronim discuss, maybe we just change what is Amos Mechaber Lavaraya. Is it a Din Safek? Whoever has it, we don't know, so we're just going to let you keep it. That was the Havamin, and the Maskani is, no, it's a Din Vadai. Once you have it, and Bessin says, Amos Mechaber Lavaraya, it's yours. Nobody else could grab it. That might have changed Havamin and Maskani. That's what Rabbi Elchanan says, is the flow of events. So Amalei Rav Chananya L'Rabba, Tani D'Masalei Elecha. Rav Chananya says to Rabba, I'm going to bring you a Raya. I'm going to bring you a Raya. What did Rabba say? Rabba said that if a Kohen grabs it, he does not get to keep it. That was Rabba's point. He doesn't get to keep it, and yet there's still an Issur B'Giza Avoda. I'll bring you a Raya that a Kohen does not get to keep it. From the following line, Hasveikos Nechnasim Ladir Lehis Asher. A Safek, what Safek? So Tamar's daf talks about what Safek we're talking about here. It's a Safek Petar Chamor. Let's say I have a donkey, and I'm not sure if this is a firstborn donkey or not. I'm not sure. So just in case, the halacha is I have to be poded with a sheep, as I have to do with any Petar Chamor, but I'm allowed to keep the sheep. Usually I have to give the sheep to the Kohen. but I'm allowed to keep it because it was a suffek. There's no kedusha on this sheep. So what's the halacha? This sheep that I just used for a suffek petach hamar, I put back in my field with all my other sheep. And when I give Meiser Behema and I count out 1, 2, 3, and number 10, when I do that, this sheep goes along and counts as one of the animals that are obligated in Meiser. Hasvekos nechnasin ladil his asher. Svekos go into the deer that you take off Meiser from. So says the Gemara. The if the halacha would be that by these cases of suffik, the Kohen would be allowed to grab it, then you wouldn't be able to use it for your Meiser Behema counts. You wouldn't be able to use it, put it back in your field. Why? Nims is a poter mamono, but mamono shall Kohen. Because that would be double dipping in religious obligations. You're not allowed to double dip with the religious obligations. Every chiyuv has to be separate money. If you would put this back, so maybe this is a sheep that's supposed to go to the Kohen, and maybe this is your Meiser Behema. So you can't double dip, just like you can't, right? You can't use Meiser money for obligations. Right? Tuition. Can tuition be used for Meiser money? So the Iker, the tuition that you pay for your son, not for the scholarships of the other kids, but the tuition that you pay for your son, you can't use for Meiser, because you have a chiyuv to educate your son. Right? You can't use for any chiyuvim. So says the Gemara, if the Kohen had any shaychus to this animal, and he'd be able to grab it from you and keep it, so then you wouldn't be allowed to use it and put it in your field for counting of Meiseris. And the fact that you're allowed to, it must be the Kohen has no shaychus to it, even if he would grab it, he wouldn't be able to keep it. That is the raya that Rav Hanani brings for Rabbah. Amalei Abaya, Imi Shemha, there's two more steps. Amalei Abaya, Imi Shemha, Lo Tesayei Lamar. Even if it's because of this, there's no raya. There's no raya from this case for Rabbah that the Kohen cannot keep it. Why? Hachal Mayaskinon could go to Leslay Elatisha. You know what the case really might be in the case where you're allowed to put it back in your field? You only have 9 other sheep. That's all you have. So Mimanafshach, you're okay. You're not double dipping. Why? V'hadi Mimanafshach. Ibar Chiyuvahu. If this animal wasn't really a firstborn donkey, so this sheep is really a regular donkey. Really regular sheep, so Shavar Kama Aser. Then you have 10 animals that are totally yours, nothing to do with the Kohen. And that's why the 10th animal to the Kohen is no problem. Ila Bar Chiyuvahu, if it's really a sheep that was used for a Petach Hamar, then you only have 9 animals. So you're not Chayib in Maiseris. Tishla Bar Yisirinu. And therefore, Mimanafshach, you're not double dipping. Either it's not Maiser, or it's an animal that's not Chayib in Maiser. So that's why Abaye says there's no riot from here that you. That a Kohen has no connection to this animal. And finally, the last step for the day, Hadar Amar Abaya. Are we okay down here, right? Because the downing is later anyway on Friday. Hadar Amar Abaya la milsi da Amri. Abaya says, you know, I'm wrong. What just happened here? Keep the flow. Rav Chananya said, I have a raya to Rabbah. Abaya knocked out the raya, and now Abaya is saying, no, it's an okay raya. That's what we're doing. There was a raya. Abaya said, no good raya. Oh yeah, it is an okay raya. He's about to knock out his rejection of the raya. So Abaya says, La milsa hida amri, what I said is wrong, and really it is a raya to Rabbah. Dwai desveka la barisurehi. The halacha is any suffek is not a barisurei, does not go back into the deer. You can't say that, oh, it's a suffek, and therefore there's only 9. No, just knock that out. The halacha is a special gzeiras hakasuv, any suffek of an animal, if I'm not sure if the animal is chayav maaser or not, is pater. Where do I know that from? A special din. It's not. The Mishnah says in Bechoros. Unbelievable. Let's say I'm a farmer and I have 5,000 sheep. 5,000 sheep. And I'm counting out my sheep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 10. Oh, this one's Meiser. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm counting out. One of the ones that I counted out already, number 6, all of a sudden goes a little crazy and jumps back into the field that I did not count yet. And now it's all mixed into my other 5,000 sheep. You know what the halacha is? They're all pater from Meiser. Kafatz echem min amenuyin, with one of the counted ones jumped back in, kulan paturin, they're all pater. Because any one that goes through, any set of 10 might only really be 9, because the one that's counted out already is pater, so the halacha is they're all pater. That's the Gzeiras HaKasa. So says the Gemara, 1 minute. And if the halacha is that, you know what, you might as well, you know, do it. What, it can't hurt. So they ask me manavsha. Just be ma'aser, it can't hurt. Why? If the 10 that you put through are not the one that jumped back in, so shaper ma'aser. That is good, Meister. And if it's not, if you got the one, so there's only 9 here, so nifter b'minyan aroi. So what's the problem? So you're giving the Kohen an extra present. You're not double dipping. The one that jumped back in is putter. And it was putter b'minyan haroi with a proper counting, meaning once you properly counted 1, 2, 3, 4, then it's putter. D'amar Rav, as Rav says, minyan haroi poter. A properly counted set poters all the animals that have already gone through the gate. So why don't you just say, just be maaser, it can't hurt. Elamai yislachal ameimar, what's the point? Why don't you just do it anyway? Asiri vadai amarachmana, velo asiri safek. Because the Torah says, the certain tenth one, not the safek tenth one. So hakanami, so here too, says Abaya, asiri vadai amarachmana, velo asiri safek. Only a vadai asiri is chayv and maestros, but any safek is not chayv. So that is, Abaya knocks out his rejection, and therefore we're left with the raya, that a Kohen, Takvo Kohen, motzi in miyado. We could take it from him, and still there could be an Isser Giza Uba'avoda. Lomaskana, what's the halacha? That's a big discussion. What do we hold Lomaskana? Tosa says, in Poter, v'cheni b'maskana, di Takvo Kohen motzi in miyado. That's a big discussion in the Achronim. The Shaychus of a Kohen, okay, before he takes it, after he takes it, how do you look at Muchzakus? How do you look at somebody who has it? Tosis here discusses also in Kafatz, why don't you say Bitzel Barov and all the animals that are left should be Chayv and Maestris, 1 in 5,000. Why don't you say Bitzel Barov here? That's a big discussion in the Rishonim. But anyway, this is the Sugya of Takvo Kohen. So as of tomorrow, you get into other Sugyas of Birshuscha, and everybody should have a good Shabbos. Okay, and...